Hello, good evening, and welcome to another Moments with Norma. The topic of the podcast this week is loneliness. Loneliness is uncomfortable, but in this uncomfortable situation, we can find so much of ourselves. So welcome to another Moments with Norma this week. I trust that you've all had a great week. And it's Saturday here in London. It is raining. It's been cold and dismal all day. This weather is back to its usual ups and downs. Yesterday was quite warm. And the week, there was sunshine, but it was cold. And in the evenings, it was very cold. So we're still having to use our central heating just to get that warmth. Or keep that warmth in our body. So I trust that wherever you are in the world, you have had a good week. We're all fighting. We've all been challenged. We're all going through different forms of challenges in our life. But with determination and resilience, and knowing that life is constantly changing, nothing lasts forever. Whatever we're going through, hopefully we can come through conquerors, but we also know that it doesn't last forever. So back to the topic of our podcast, loneliness. And I just wanted to take a few minutes to just share my time of loneliness from the age of 5 through to about the age of 10, where I was at the age of 5. I was diagnosed with a leaking heart valve, and my family home was on a very high mountain top in Jamaica. And because of the altitude and being so far away from hospital, my mother had to find some other form of accommodation for me with different families who lived closer in the cities to the hospital. But during those times when I was staying with families and different families, I was not able to go to school. I probably would go to school for a day or two, and then because the sun was so hot, and you know, as kids moving around, I would trigger off a tremendous nosebleed. And of course, the tiredness and the short of breath was something that I had to deal with. So most of the time, I ended up staying at home by myself during the day while the children, they would go off to school and the adults would go off to their various jobs. And so I had to spend many time from the age of 5 alone, on my own, while during the daytime. And there was always plenty of dangers around the yard, and I always had fears of these big iguana lizards. There used to be many of them. At the bottom of one of the yard there was a dried up stream, and even in one of the other places that I stayed with one of my uncles, they had lots of pigs. And also, if you walk down the track, you where we go to fetch water, there was a massive big waterfall with a spring as well. And so there was many dangers around me as I stayed by myself. But through that process, I became very matured in my thinking as a 5-year-old child, 6, 7, going through to the age of 10 when I was here in England. And even here, I never had my parents with me when I was in the hospitals, Great Ormond Streets, nursing home, all of those places. They were times that I had to learn to be resilient and to deal with that loneliness and the emptiness that I would have gone through, and also the fear of seeing all my friends dying and not knowing when it was my turn to die. And also the very morning that I went down to take my turn to have that experimental heart valve replacement, my parents wasn't able to come, even though they were here in England. I was in Leeds, and in those days, they had to go to work. They couldn't afford not to go to work. And in Leeds, it was very far from where my parents was living. So again, my parents, they came to visit me on the Saturday before my operation on the Monday, signed the paperwork, and I was left to go through that process again. So I know what this loneliness is all about, but for me, having the opportunity to go through loneliness, I've used it as a way to build resilience and determination, and to be able to go within myself and find comfort in my own heartbeat, find comfort in the breath that I breathe, and to understand that life, sometimes we have to go through these processes by ourselves. And I have no hard feelings towards my parents. And when I look back on my life, I realize how grateful and thankful that I am that they weren't able to be with me. Because, you know, sometimes when you have your parents and they're very concerned about what's happening to their children, they have anxieties, they have fears, they have all the worry, and sometimes that can transfer itself onto the child that they are having those worries about, and that child, you know, takes on that worry, and that interferes with the way that you heal. It interferes with your resilience, it interferes with your determination to have so much sympathy. You know, we all need to have empathy, but having sympathy and, you know, mother coloring sometimes our children or people that we're caring for, that kind of emotions can kill us faster than a bullet. So that experience that I went through, I'm so glad that I didn't have to go through it with my siblings or my parents, and that allowed me to find myself in those loneliness, staying in the yard during the day, not having TV, radio or anything to play with, but to look at the even the littlest things like the birds and the sky and the lizards, who I was also afraid of. But having all of those things, you know, the beauty of life, seeing that and building that determination that I was going to survive was the best thing for me. And that's why I know that I've been able to conquer this journey that I've been on through my own resilience and knowing how to be in that space within myself and realizing that I'm never alone. We think that we are, but we are never alone. And so that has been my own personal experience with loneliness. And most people hate being lonely. They hate being alone. And their loneliness can turn into depression, sadness, self-doubt, isolation, and being disconnected from our source. Even in a room full of people with with high energy, they can still feel lonely. You know, some people, they still have loads of people around them and all the noise and the chatter, and they still feel lonely. They feel that emptiness, they feel that something is missing, and they just can't seem to find that happiness that they need to find. And they're constantly looking for things outside of them to make themselves feel better, and constantly having a feeling of being unfulfilled. Now, feeling these emotions of loneliness has led many people to misuse substance such as drugs and alcohol, or prescription drugs and other personal addictions. You know, addictions is a very big spectrum, and everybody have their own personal things that they can be addicted to, and they all have long-term side effects on the physical body and on our well-being. And using any form of addiction brings about all kind of different emotions. And loneliness is one of those feelings that is experienced after the support of medication or substance wearing off. And then the chase begins all over again. You know, sometimes when we see people who have some serious drug addictions, you know, they are constantly chasing that first hit. They're constantly in a cycle of being angry. They're constantly in a cycle of being up and down. And so we can see how that actually works. And it's the same thing with all the medications that we actually take, even though they're prescribed for us. And if we try to wean ourselves off any form of medication, it is very, very difficult to do so, and can end up triggering other things. So for some person, loneliness becomes an illness and can destroy the very essence of a person and can kill. And we can see a lot of time when our older people, they go through this dementia. A lot of it is stemmed from that loneliness that they feel inside, that loneliness and that emptiness that they actually feel. And I know the doctors have this medical stuff that part of their brains have been calcified and this and that. But for me, I've seen many older people go through dementia. And for me, it's arisen from them feeling lonely in life and feeling unfulfilled. And then it drags on and drags on, and then it turns into a bigger thing. Of course, many people will have their own, versions of saying what they feel it is. But from my observation, with looking at a lot of older people that I have been around over the years, that is something from my observation. And as I said, you know, it's medically, there is other medical issues that they're saying that causes it. But for me, I think the trigger starts from being lonely. Loneliness can lead to a person to live their life in secret. They live very secret life. You know, when people have addictions, they don't want anybody else to know, and they keep it as a secret. There are some people who are functioning addicts, and you know, they look quite normal and they're doing all the stuff, and you'd never know that they have an addiction. So you don't have to be someone that's on the street walking and begging and looking dirty or whatever, or going around in circles chasing a very neurotic life. They are people who are functional addicts, and all kind of addictions that they use, and they function with it. Loneliness is linked to physical health, including having an effect on the immune system. It also has an effect on the function of our mental health. We know that for sure as well. And loneliness as a also affects our cardiovascular health and our overall well-being. Now, loneliness is a common human experience that can consume us. And if we are not resilient, it can take us into depths of despair. It can push us into doing things we know that's not good for us. And after we do the things we know we should not do, it makes us feel even worse. And we can look at people who have, behavior, they can be sex addicts, and they have certain behavior, and they go out and they do what they have to do, and then after they finish doing it, it can make them feel so bad, it makes them feel worse. So even people who are using any kind of substance, you know, once they've had their fix and they feel as if, oh yeah, I feel a bit normal, I feel a bit better, it also can make them feel worse. They go into a downward spiral, and then they have to take something else, maybe smoke something or drink something to level out the feeling. I mean, it's like any medication that the doctors are giving you for depression. They have to give you, I remember years gone by, they call them uppers and downers. And so they give you something, you know, to make you feel good, but they have to give you something to level you off and to make you feel leveled off. And so once we get involved in certain addictive behavior, once we have used whatever we need to soothe ourselves, it can also make us feel so bad afterwards. Then we suffer from the remorse of our actions. Loneliness can have us trapped in a revolving cycle that creates unhealthy chatters in our mind. And we are forever living in a high and a low cycle. And there's many things that can also trigger off loneliness. One of the greatest emotions that rises its ugly head is our jealousy, and that can harm us and also harm others. And if it's not kept in check, you know, it can really harm our health. Also, grief is also right up there in triggering off loneliness, that sometimes one never finds their way back from grief. You know, we have people who have lost loved ones 10, 20, 30 years, and they have, elope themselves in this loneliness and grief, and they are not living life to their fullest. And so grief is one of the bigger ones that's in up there that can put us into loneliness, missing our loved ones, especially when we see couples who've been together for years and one must go before the other, the one that's left behind. They slip into the abyss of loneliness quite quickly. Very hard to find yourself out of that. So we can find ourselves in a situation where we don't have children, or if we do, we may not be in a good relationship with our children. And this can drive our loneliness as well. You know, we have our children and sometimes we are not in good relationship with them. We're at odds with them and we are left feeling lonely. I mean, one of the things by building a family unit is to build a unit that we know we have each other to support each other. And that can, you know, also be a big struggle if the unit is not functioning properly. Now, sometimes we feel we actually also don't fit in. You know, some of us feel that we don't fit into what society deems as being normal. There's lots of people out there with different challenges in life, and they don't really feel as if they fit into life, and that can cause loneliness. We may feel we are not the right look, the right height, the right size, the right color, our hair, and our orientation. So there's so many things out there. And when we look at society and social media today, everybody is kind of looking the same because, you know, especially our women, they're all going out having BBB. They're turning their bodies into these big butts and the big breasts and the small waist. And, you know, or they're having the lip fillers because they want to have these fuller lips. They're using, some using tan to be darker. You know, there's all of these things that are out there, and everybody is also looking the same because everybody's striving because they think that's norm, you know. And so there's lots of those society that we feel that we don't fit in because we don't look like how the mass is beginning to shape themselves into. And this list is endless and can be very painful and can throw one into isolation. You know, when some people feel as if they don't fit in, they don't look right, they don't look like their friends who this and that, you know, they can then end up putting themselves into isolation and being lonely. Loneliness challenges us to find our strength and our weaknesses. And the truth is, as I've said, we are never alone. As we actually forget, we have already faced our most challenging loneliness as we made it through our birthing canal. And we will find it again when our time comes for us to make that transition. And some person find it difficult to make friends and to actually keep friends. There are things that we can do to fit who we are. So let's look at some of the things that we can actually do that fits who we are. And I'm just going to give a few examples, but I'm sure there's plenty other examples out there that we can actually find that fits our personality and fit who we are. Now, finding a hobby that can develop into a passion that can lead us to finding, you know, others to communicate with. So when we find hobbies, we may go out and we may like to play tennis. I used to like to play squash. Some people like to go swimming. Some people like to play all different kind of sports. Some people join bike riding clubs. Some people join car clubs. You know, there's all different kinds of stuff that we can turn into hobbies that are our hobbies. And it helps us to go out there and to communicate with other people who are doing the same things. And our hobbies can also lead to us making a personal income from it. You know, some people like to make jewelry, which they can sell. You know, some people like to do painting, which they can sell, or pottery. There's lots of different things that you can actually do that can develop into a personal income. And also joining local community groups that resonates with us. There is so many community groups out there, and I know I volunteer over the years to quite a lot of different community groups, and I've learned so much about my community by joining these community groups, because by doing that we're also using it to support others in our community who is not as fortunate as ourselves. And sometimes we may have to seek out therapy, and finding the right therapist that actually fits us. Obviously, for some people, you know, when they're going through grief or loss or, you know, challenging behaviors, they have to do some kind of therapy. So seeking out the therapy that fits as an individual. You know, you may go to one therapist and that's not a good fit, but you may go to another therapist and that therapist is a good fit. Now, as parents with older children, if we are fortunate, we can invest our time in supporting our grandchildren. And you know, for some parents, they may not have been the best parent when they had their own child, or they may not have had the time to spend that quality time with their own children because they were busy surviving and doing all kinds of things to keep a family together and to feed a family, pay bills, put a roof over their heads. And so as grandparents, we're far more, you know, you get relaxed, you don't have that struggle, and we can be better parent as grandparent to our grandchildren. And also, of course, it's going to support our children so that they can, you know, find time also for themselves and their self-care. Now, finding community projects that we can become volunteers, as I said, is also very, very important, and they're all out there. And it's a way that we can give back and feel useful. I'm sorry, again, the ambulance or the police on a Saturday night, it's relentless, it never gives up. Sorry for that interruption there. Now back to what I'm saying about loneliness. Have a plan before retirement. And if we are in a relationship, do things together. But also, have something that you can do without a partner, as life is inevitable that one will go before the other. And this is what we do sometimes, you know, especially we see lots of women, they rely so much on their husbands, and they cannot do things. Sometimes they can't even pay the bills because their husband has been there to take care of them. They don't have a hobby, they don't have any interests, and when their husband goes, this is it. Life is very lonely, and that grief runs deeper, and that becomes hard for them, you know. So it is important. And you know, obviously when we were working as well, you know, we had somewhere to put our energy and to be useful. But of course, when we retire, if we're not planning careful for retirement, we can find ourselves getting old very, very quickly and not enjoying what life is all about through retirement. We can find comfort in a pet, as we can get the most love and companionship from having also a pet. We can find so many different groups that we can get involved with, and it's up to us to search them out. You know, Google is a great friend, and you just type whatever you need in, and before you know, there's loads of activity in your community. Eventbrite is another one to have a look at what's happening in our community, or that events that you can actually go to. And you know, the different groups, as I said, that's in our community, get involved with them, such as dancing, the gym, yoga, walking groups, flower arrangements, acting. Some people like to go to acting classes. It's something that they've thought about. Painting, pottery, and also flower arrangements. And so there are so many things out there that we can actually do. Also, during retirement, use your career to support others who are making their way in life. You know, sometimes if you look at someone who's starting off a business, and maybe you run a business yourself, maybe you're an accountant, or maybe you're a business analyst or anything like that, you know, you can give your support to someone who's just starting up their own business. I know there's lots of business angels out there, and get involved in stuff like that so it keeps your head active, and also it's giving back to someone who is starting on their journey. Now, there are so many activities that we can that, you know, we can explore to take the edge off our loneliness and give that human contact that we all need, that help to make sense of our life. Now, if we can see ourselves as the caterpillar that goes into its cocoon to crystallize itself and becomes that beautiful butterfly, we can use our loneliness to create that beautiful butterfly if we are willing to go into our own personal cocoon of loneliness and know that it's just a state that may feel uncomfortable, but it's where we can actually also find ourselves and become a beautiful butterfly. I myself, I cherish my loneliness and enjoy my own company. And through that process, you know, especially when you want to write a book or you have to put contents together for a podcast, I find that these are the time that I explore my ability to write and to put my own contents together. And I love that. And so, you know, I enjoy my own company and my loneliness, you know, periodically when I need to withdraw myself to do the things that I want to do and to have clarity and to think about certain things where I am, or to put a contents of my podcast together, or to write a book. And so for me, I enjoy that, because sometimes when you have so many people, they take away all your time, they take away all your energy, you know. So I use that time to grow and to seek the answers of life for myself. As in that space, I don't see myself as being lonely, and all I have to do is to listen to my heartbeat and the breath that I breathe. And that tells me that I'm not lonely. In that space of meditation, in that space of just shutting down and being alone, it's a wonderful experience if we don't see it in the way that other people see it, as fear. And because that's really what they're doing, they're having fear of being alone, fear of the unknown, fear of not knowing what's going to happen to them next, what situation is going to reach them, and most of all, fear of death. And so being alone, you know, it gives us that thinking space. Take that time to listen to yourself, to hear what you're thinking, and you'll find some amazing answers to your life situation. And choose to be happy. Happiness is a choice. It's not something that you can find outside of you or in anything, but it's a choice. So if we choose to be happy rather than choose to be feeling lonely. Now, I found this inspirational statement, and I thought it fits in. It may not talk about loneliness, but I think it actually fits in. It's called Your Story. With each new beginning comes the chance to shape your journey and embrace the unknown. As a friend, for it brings untold lessons and uncharted joy. Let excitement ripple through your vein, igniting the fire of possibilities. In this chapter of fresh start, you hold the pen to craft a story of your own making. So you can take what you can from that and see where it fits in with your life. So thank you for tuning in, and I know there is so many podcasts out there that you can listen to. And thank you for all my Spotify listeners who go onto Spotify and have chosen to listen to my podcast, because there's so many podcasts out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I totally enjoy putting the contents together, and I hope all the contents that I put together is there to support you on your life journey. And also it supports me, because while I'm talking to you, I'm reminding myself too. And so I totally enjoy showing up every week. I thank you so much wherever you are in the world. I know there's so many challenges and so many things going on that is throwing so many people off their journey. But have courage, take faith, and sometimes we have to shut out some of the things that is going on and be a bit selfish and just focus on what it is that we need to create and do for our own personal greatness. So I have written my book, and it's called Coming Down from My Mountaintop. It's a autobiography of my story, of my life story, and also my story of my loneliness and overcoming all of that and all the challenges that I've had to go through in my own personal life. It's called Coming Down from My Mountaintop by Norma Ellis, and it's on Amazon. And it's also in all bookstores worldwide. So wherever you are, you can pick up a copy. And I hope that you do. You can give it as a birthday present to someone that you want to give to. Or, you know, for yourself, it's holiday time now. And you'll be flying away, jetting away to the sunshine. Maybe you can take a copy to read on the plane going and coming. And also maybe when you're lying on the beach or you're at the swimming pool, sunbathing, you can read my inspiring autobiography, Coming Down from My Mountaintop. So thank you. Also, please do continue to share the podcast to a friend who may need some kind of encouragement. They say sharing is caring. And I thank you all so much for tuning in every week and grow into your own personal greatness. Here we go. Let's dance.